What a blessing it is for me to be here and a great privilege to take us through the study, actually, of the book of Ecclesiastes. So today we're going to start with lesson one. And we aren't going to get too far. We're only going to look at the first three verses. This book reports the results of a diligent quest for purpose, meaning, and satisfaction in human life. The preacher, the writer, sees the emptiness and the futility of power, popularity, prestige, and pleasure apart from God. In introducing this book, we'll look at the first three verses, like I said. So in verse one, what we have is an introduction of the author, or an introduction to the author of Ecclesiastes. He says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem." Solomon is the author. Nowhere in this book does he give his name, but the descriptions he gives of himself and his experiences would indicate that the writer is King Solomon. If you want some background, just read 1 Kings chapters 3 through 11 to get an understanding of who he is and the life he led. He was the wisest man, excluding Jesus, and the wealthiest man to ever live, really, on this planet. He knew God and started out walking with the Lord, but his life did not finish well. In 1 Kings 4, verse 32, it tells us that he spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Now, we actually have two psalms in the Bible attributed to him, Psalm 72 and Psalm 127. And he wrote, of course, the Song of Solomon, Proverbs, and, of course, Ecclesiastes. Now, it's interesting. Jewish tradition asserts that Solomon wrote Song of Solomon in his youthful years. And that would make sense from the viewpoint of the royal lover. Proverbs in his middle years, with his viewpoint of the wise teacher. Both these books written during the years when he was still faithfully walking with God. Ecclesiastes, they believe, in his later years he wrote it, perhaps even near his death. This book may be expressing his regret for his folly and wasted time due to carnality and idolatry. Just read 1 Kings 11 to see how he didn't finish well. There's no record that King Solomon repented and turned to the Lord, but his message in Ecclesiastes suggests that he may have, but only God knows. He writes from the viewpoint of the preacher, which he calls himself many times, not just in verse 1. The Hebrew word for preacher here is found only in Ecclesiastes, and it's the title given to an official speaker who calls an assembly, which Solomon would have done. And the word Ecclesiastes actually comes from the Greek word ecclesia, which also means the same thing, speaker before an assembly. It comes from the word where we get the word assembly or church. So then the preacher states his thesis right up front. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity in verse 2. Now, vanity. It's a key word, obviously, in the book. It means empty, futile, a vapor, that which vanishes quickly and leaves nothing behind. It's used 37 to 38 times to express many things that cannot give life meaning, that cannot satisfy. And then to strengthen his point that he judged life to be the ultimate vanity, he uses the phrase vanity of vanities. This is a Hebrew phrasing that expresses intensity and the ultimate of something, like the phrase holy of holies. So this phrase, or something like it, is used about 30 times. All of life is futile, empty. It's just a vapor that vanishes quickly and leaves nothing behind. That's his thinking. So then in light of this, verse 3, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? He uses the word work or labor to mean the same thing. He's talking about human attainments and accomplishments, and they're referred to as work or labor. He means to toil here, when he talks about toiling, to the point of exhaustion, and yet experience little or no fulfillment in your work. He says here, what prophet is there? Well, the word here for prophet is used nowhere else in the Old Testament. And its basic meaning is that which is left over. So Solomon asks the question, in light of all the puzzles and the problems of life, what's the advantage of living? Is there any gain? And then he's coming from the viewpoint of under the sun. He uses this phrase at least 29 times, and a couple times he says under the heaven, or under heaven, which he means the same thing. But it defines the outlook of Solomon as he looks at life from a human perspective and not necessarily from heaven's point of view. He applies his own wisdom and experience to the complex human situation and tries to make some sense out of it. But as we study Ecclesiastes, we have to keep in mind this viewpoint. He's examining life under the sun. So his theme is life and work under the sun. It's all vanity. The question then to be answered is life really worth living? This is not an essay for the atheist. He does bring God into the picture. That's why the following verses are key verses. In chapter 2, verses 24 through 25, he says, "Nothing is better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment more than I?" So eat, drink, and enjoy the benefits of your work because they're from God, he's saying, and enjoy life. This is used 6 times in Ecclesiastes. He comes to this conclusion. It's from God. Be satisfied. There will be times when Solomon brings God into the picture, but does so from only a human perspective as well. But in the end, Solomon concludes, when all has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments. Once life is seen from God's perspective, life takes on meaning and purpose. Solomon wants us to see that life is God's gift to us, and he wants us to enjoy it and use it for his glory. And we'll see, after we study this book, a good title for the book could actually be Satisfied. In closing, as we begin this study, you might want to consider a couple questions. How would you describe life in 15 words or less? Are you satisfied with your life? If not, what do you think would bring you satisfaction? Good questions to ponder. Until next time. Ladies, it's great to be back with you. I look forward to the journey that we're going to have together through this unique book. You can download the study guide for today's lesson at naomistable.com.